Yes, we do. We do get into the weeds around here. Literally, as well. Because weeds are a scourge on our public lands. We're going to be talking about them today. They're a scourge on our farmlands, ranch lands, your backyard. And how do you stop this scourge? Very small plants, very big consequences. We'll talk about that today here on Voices of Montana. Welcome some friends back to the studio before you know it, or I should say back on the air here as we get into this. So noxious weeds, they're often easy to overlook, and then they become a problem, right? And I don't know if we recognize them. You see them, they can crop up on the road or pasture somewhere. How do you take care of them? Because there's estimates that approximately 7 million acres of Montana rangeland, they've been infested. And there's different kinds, right, of alien weed species. And I don't know who gets to name them. There's a lot of fun names out there, too. We're going to get into it because now's the time where fall creates some opportunities to note them and then also to attack them. And let's welcome back to the program as we get into the weeds on weeds here. And that's the only time I'll use that pun. Cody might use it a time or two. Becky Kington, Executive Director of the Montana Weed Control Association. Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Good morning. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate that. And then also Kellyanne Fillingham, Ravalli County Noxious Weed Coordinator and also part of that Weed Control Association. Good morning, Kellyanne. What's going on?
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hanging in there. I'm battling weeds in one yard. I think I've lost that battle, but there's always hope. So let's start where we're at right now in the fall. I want to talk and give some ideas about what kinds of weeds are out there that are going to, and there's a lot of different areas. As you know, I mean, rangeland is one different thing. Our cattle grazing opportunities are another. Of course, our lawns and our gardens are a different kind of thing. So we'll start with Becky Kington, Executive Director, Montana Weed Control Association. Where are we at right now in this battle with weeds?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, it's a never ending battle. And I would like to, I guess, talk about how, we had talked earlier just in kibitzing before we started this, interview is how hard it is to bring awareness to noxious weeds because it's just not a glamorous topic. It's just not. And it becomes glamorous, unfortunately, when it kills your horses or your dogs get abscesses and infections from invasive grasses. I mean, unfortunately, that's where it comes into play. And that's sometimes what it takes to get people's attention. You had a great interview earlier this year with Clayton Markser and my local veterinarian, Ellie Reedy, who talked about horiolissum and how it had caused some deaths in some horses. And like I said, unfortunately, that's what it takes to sometimes get people's attention is the toxicity of a lot of these weeds.
And then the fact that, you want to get them early and then hit them hard, kind of speak. Kellyanne, why don't you address that? Because that's one thing that, as we chat with you from time to time, early detection and rapid response, I mean, that's a thing when it comes to fighting weeds.
It absolutely is a thing when it comes to fighting weeds. The whole thing here when it comes to these weeds and why it's you're always be working on them is because of seed viability. These plants, if you don't catch them early, they flower. Many times they're pretty, which people think that they just have wildflowers, but they can be very bad, toxic. Once they flower, then they set their seeds. Now those seeds are in the soil waiting for the right light, the right moisture, the right temperature, and then they start growing again. So your weed treatments are never a one and done thing. You hope that you can get an overall treatment, where instead of spending all summer treating weeds, that you could get up to a management program to where you can do a really good dynamite bang up treatment and then turn around and come back and just continue with touch up. That way you're not spending your whole summer taking care of weeds. But in reality, if you let your weeds go to seed, flower and go to seed, you're going to continue to have weeds. And fall, this time of year, many of our weeds are going to seed. The Horeolithum Bex just talked about spotted knapweeds full blooming, in fact, dropping their seeds now. The houndstongue has started dropping their seeds as we get into late fall. So, yep, knowing where your weeds are and getting a control on them before they go to seed is going to help you in the springtime as you plan for treatment. And many times you can even treat now, which you get good results in fall treatment as well. So weeds are forever.
Right.
You just want to get it down to a maintenance instead of an overall hardcore weed treating all the time.
Becky, yeah. Go ahead and comment on that. Early detection, rapid response. But when we talked about this, maybe it was in early June, right? Weed awareness is a big part of this, too.
Absolutely. I think the first step in weed management is education, first and foremost. If you don't know what you're dealing with, you can't really address it. So knowing what you have, knowing what's out there, especially knowing the new invaders, is super important. We have several task forces in Montana, and I believe some of them are even offering bounties if you happen to find this weed. I'm not sure exactly which ones. Kelly may know. She's the leader of the Blue Weed Task Force. But education is the first step. And I think it's super important to know, like Kellyanne just said, that it's not a one and done. Unfortunately, I wish it were. People call me all summer long wishing they could, or wanting to know their applicators, wanting to know how to deal with their neighbors, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it's never ending.
That's Becky Kington again. We're also with Kellyanne Fillingham. Becky is the executive director of the Montana Weed Control Association. And it is easy to find mtweed.org for more information. And Kellyanne Fillingham, Ravalli County Noxious Weed Coordinator. Let's continue on into this. What are the biggest offenders right now in our country, in our state? But I suppose that differs across the state because we're so geographically diverse. But Kellyanne, what are we tackling right now?
Yeah, great question, Tom, because right now you're noticing a lot of our weeds flower, in fact, dry up a little bit and dropping their seeds. And you're exactly right when it comes from the east to the west. I'm over here in the very western part of the state. We've got Amy Adler, who's in the very eastern side of the state. For us on the western side, oxeye daisy is something we see all over the place. It is a noxious weed. It'll take over fields. It's very gorgeous. You're still finding it in flower bouquets, which is contributing to the spread. That's something Amy does not have on the eastern side of the state. She found oxeye daisy now on the eastern side of the state. For her, that is a high priority weed because they don't hardly have any. For us, that just falls in the category of noxious weeds. We need to do something and work at trying to take care of them. And it is that way across from both sides of the state. You know, the importance of folks that have property and are trying to raise their animals, their cattle, feed the rest of us here in Montana. It's so important for them to treat their weeds. But then over here in western Montana, where you don't have a lot of big properties anymore, there are a lot of subdivisions going in and whatnot that you still have to treat your weeds because the weeds do not know fence lines. And so that is exactly how they get spread. Wind, people, wildlife, and not being educated about what weeds they're out there picking and bringing home because they think they make a beautiful bouquet.
Here's one of the great things about the program here is that, especially as we talk about weeds and you have some questions, we have a phone. It's 866-627-5483. I'll give that again. And you can text a message, too, but the phone is 866-627-5483 and then 781-627-5483 to text a message. Nancy in Roundup, she heard the word, blue weed? Bullweed. Oh, good morning, Nancy. You're on the air with Kellyanne and Becky.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Tom, for taking my phone call. Yes, it's bull thistle. And I had a very careless neighbor that brought some seeds into my neighborhood when they moved here from Wyoming. and it is terrible. It's an epidemic. We've been digging them out and burning them, and I called the Montana Extension University. They do not consider bull thistle a noxious weed or anything, and I couldn't get any help from the state to kill these terrible, terrible weeds. And so I've been just combating them on my own. I tried truck diesel fuel and everything. So the only effective way I've kept them under control is to dig them out by the root and burn them. And I just want to know, and you know, if there's any other solution to this. And, you know, I think that big trucks actually bring a lot of seeds unknowingly into our state or around Montana. They go into places where there's mud and they pick up seeds, weed seeds, and they just spread them around, you know, innocently, but they do it that way. But I'd like to know if you know anything more about bull thistle and what I can do about it. And thank you so much, and I will listen off air.
Thanks, Nancy.
I'm gonna lob that one to Kelly from. It is not on the noxious weed list, and maybe after Kelly explains a little bit, I can talk a little bit about the state listings process. So and Kelly, you want to talk about bull thistle?
I've got less than a minute to do that, and we'll continue this conversation after the break. But go ahead, Kellyanne.
Okay, so you're exactly right, Nancy. Bull thistle is not on our state noxious weed list. We have about 36 weeds on the state noxious weed list. That does not mean that bull thistle is not a bad plant that is spreading all over the place. It is, and I see it over here in western Montana. I'm not sure what part of Montana you're in, and it was prolific this year. Those seeds fly in the air. Once those beautiful purple blooms come up, then the seeds fly. But a way to control that plant is to catch it before it bolts. So know what that little rosette before it bolts up its stalk.
They have names that, they're pretty interesting. Cheatgrass, Medusa head, and there's more to it. As well as we talk about weeds, they spread like crazy. 7 million acres of Montana rangeland infested. Spotted knapweed has been one of Montana's most historic invasive weed species as well. And it's expensive. It takes a bite out of our production, and it also, you know, takes a bite out of what you can do with your yards as well. We're talking about weeds, and we have Kellyanne Fillingham with us here, River Valley County Noxious Weed Coordinator, and then from the Montana Weed Control Association, Becky Kington joins us as well. And thank you guys again for coming on here. And I know the battle is real out there, especially, you know, we want to get into this time of year and how we can take advantage of what's available during the fall in that regard. But let's pick up, Kellyanne, where Nancy had left off, talking about a thistle, bull thistle, not one of, as you noted, one of the 36 noxious weeds listed officially on the state of Montana site. And I know, Becky, you'll address that here in a little bit, but it is nasty. And how do we fight that?
You bet. So to pick up where we left off on that, bull thistle is kind of a biennial plant. So if you can identify what the baby plants look like, that's the best time to work at controlling that. Thistles can grow anywhere where it's dry or even damp for the most part. They really like ground disturbance. So getting something planted where they're pretty thick, wiping out the weed as best you can and getting your desired plants there will help kind of keep it at bay. But you can, it has a tap root, so you can snap that root off about 2 inches underground and pretty much kill that plant. It's a whole lot more work once it's bolted up and it's got all those little prickly spikes on it. So if you can catch it before you get that, that is the best thing to do, Nancy. Unfortunately, you're exactly right. Those weed seeds travel on our shoes, our boots, our car tires, our wildlife, and then they get deposited around. That's what's so important about being a good neighbor. If you take care of your weeds, they're not going to go to the neighbors. If the neighbor takes care of their weeds, they're not going to go to the next neighbor. And so over time, we can work at getting a control on it. And really quick, before Becky gets started on weeds, bull thistle is listed on a couple of county-listed weeds.
Ah.
Maybe not on the state, but the county has an opportunity to list weeds if they find that a weed is a problem. So I hope that helps, Nancy.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Nancy, and thank you for that. So, Becky, why is bull thistle, not as nasty a weed as others out there? Why does it not make the list, so to speak?
Well, I can't specifically address bull thistle because what happens is you have a petition process. You have a weed that you want to be petitioned to be on the state list. It goes through a couple different committees, and they evaluate it, like, how economically feasible is it to control it. So, like, cheatgrass is not, it's on our list as a regulated plant, but it's not ever going to be listed as a noxious weed just because it's too prevalent. It would be so expensive to try to control it. If it's on the state noxious weed list, that means you can actually go through the compliance process by law, and that's a big indicator there. So a lot of people this summer asked why poison hemlock wasn't on the list. And I kind of tried to do a little research on why they didn't list that. And they just felt that the diversity of the environments across the state were so different for that plant that it was better to be listed as a county weed. So as Kellyanne had said, every county has the opportunity to list their own weeds. Some just go by the state list. Some have a laundry list of county listed weeds in addition to the state weed list. So it is a petition process. There are variables that the committees take into consideration as to why it's petitioned, why it is listed, why it should be listed, or why it probably is better as a county listed weed. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. And, I'm glad to get calls. And there's a text message here as well. And I think it indicates that a lot of people in Montana are aware of weeds and trying to get on the right side of things here too. And that's important because as Kellyanne had noted, it doesn't respect fence lines. Everybody's a friendly neighbor, so to speak. So I have some sort of weed species growing in my yard. What's the weed called that grows in your yard that looks like a little fern or a Christmas tree? And this one, how do weeds harm pets like dogs?
Right. If you'll let me take that one, Tom, I'd love it.
Got it.
The little weed that looks like a fern, I love it with just one little description there, is probably a weed called red stem fillery or stork spill. Once that's allowed to flower, it'll have a little teeny tiny pink flower on it. It grows usually in dry, gravelly, disturbed areas in along the lawn edges and then sometimes in the lawn. So not a noxious weed, pretty easily controlled with just like a weed and feed treatment in your lawn. Get your grasses healthy and choke that one out. It's not, again, a noxious weed. The one that looks like little Christmas trees that are growing is probably kochia. In fact, I've threatened over here in western Montana, we get kochia 6-7 feet tall, that I'm going to cut those babies down and start making some money for our weed department for selling them as Christmas trees. Kochia is really prolific. Again, catching that plant before it's 6 inches tall is the key to controlling that one. Anything over 6 inches, you try to treat it, and it'll look like it's dying, and then it'll pop right back out of it. So using the right products at the right time is so important with either one of those weeds.
Becky?
Can I jump in real quick on that one, too? So there are some noxious weeds that may have, like common tansy has a fern-like leaf as well. And as far as little pine tree looking, sometimes leafy spurge can look like a little pine tree. So I guess I would say if you have a question of what you've got in your yard, either contact your local weed district or extension office. And Montana has an excellent resource in the Scudder Lab at MSU. If you just email pictures to them, a lot of times they can tell you exactly what you have to.
So,
and the same with your.
Where do those pictures go?
Your weed districts too. Sorry, Tom. Yeah.
Give me 1 second. I'll give you an email address.
Okay.
I gotta look for it real quick. But Kelly, you wanna
go ahead,
finish what you were saying there? Sorry.
Sorry about that. The weed districts usually will identify too. I don't know if all coordinators do it, I give my personal cell phone out so people can send me pictures so I can correctly identify. Here, that's another issue that people have. They want to treat their weeds, so they just go to the local hardware store or the big box stores, and they buy something off the counter and start spraying. And the next thing you know, they've got dead spots in their lawn. They've contaminated their wells. They haven't killed their weeds because they haven't picked the right product. So really figure out what weed you have, and then we can figure out what you need to do about them to save your good vegetation. We want to do a good job, so we don't want to do it wrongly or get people frustrated. As we just talked earlier, weeds are so expensive to treat. Let's do it right the first time or two.
And that's one of the things that I take away every time we chat, is that how willing our professionals are in the state of Montana to visit your place. To go and individually talk with you, you know, create a plan, but just help you identify what you have. Becky, I've got it here. It is the Shutter Diagnostic Lab, and I'm going to give some email addresses out just so people can reach out there.
The plant ID one is probably the best for what people are asking.
PlantID@montana.edu.
Yep. That's it.
Simple enough. PlantID@montanaed.edu. And I think that, you know, with phones, you can take pictures, snap, send that off, and then I'm not sure how long it takes to respond, probably not that long. Do you know, Becky, if they come back and, you know, after that identifying, I suppose there's a little blip about here's what it is, here's what to watch out for, here's how you get rid of it.
Well, the beautiful thing about Montana State University, and I'm a Grizz fan, by the way, so that pains me to have to say that. But the beautiful thing about them is that they have so many resources at Montana State. So they have a publication department. Pretty much anything that you are looking for information on, they have done a post on, either a post or there's a publication on it. So I highly recommend the university system. Just do a search for really, especially all of our noxious weeds for sure, and a lot of them that aren't. I mean, plants that aren't on the state list are also available. They have publications. Just, it's an excellent resource. I use it all the time, and I recommend people look into it.
Yeah, I think what's out there, take advantage of it, because they can really help you at home. We'll come on back after a break here and talk more about fall spraying and the ways that we can maybe attack weeds in the fall here. Becky Kington is with us. She is Executive Director of the Montana Weed Control Association. And Kellyanne Fillingham, Ravalli County Noxious Weed Coordinator. Here's your chance. I talked about this earlier. The Montana Department of Commerce now giving away weekly prize packages. They're going to be associated with the seven different Montana travel regions. And that's going to showcase some of Montana's activities and history and culture. So this starts this week. And I want you guys to be on top of this for 7 weeks now. The first one is Indian Country. And, of course, Montana. We have 12 federally recognized tribes throughout the state. And Indian Country has come a long ways when it comes to tribal enterprises, timber industries, agriculture, tourism, the Native American Made in Montana brand products. I look for those specifically as well. Some 140 museums across the state of Montana. There is a prize package that they are giving away. And again, associated for the next 7 weeks here with each of our seven different Montana travel regions. The first one is Indian Country. And this prize will take you into the pristine shores of Flathead Lake, Water People Tours, and Camp Kapapa. I hope I'm saying that right. They're an off-grid camp that offers a pretty unique and immersive indigenous experiences. How do you win that? Easy enough. Go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Once again, this week's giveaway is for Indian Country, and visitmt.com/giveaway. For more information, we'll take one more phone call as it's Weed Kill for the Masses today. Julie is listening in East Helena on one of our favorites over there, KCAP 950 AM. Julie, just in time. Good morning. You're on the air with Becky and Kellyanne.
Good morning. I just want to say that I'm trying to educate my younger neighbors about knapweed in my alley, and there is an ordinance here in East Helena that residents are supposed to keep their invasive weeds taken care of, which they don't. And I'm retired, so I go around and pull it. But I have a really bad patch of cheatgrass that I have not been able to get rid of in my front lawn, and I wonder, how do I take care of that?
Kellyanne?
You bet. So cheatgrass is a really tough one, but if you look at where that cheatgrass is growing, you don't have a lot of good competition, nice, healthy other vegetation. So as you're pulling and oh my goodness, I think about your hands and your back and the time that you're doing all this hard work, and thank you for that. One of the integrated weed management tools is revegetation. So if it is possible at all, as you're pulling some of this cheatgrass out, even your knapweed, to replant something in its place. If it's a dry area that you cannot get irrigation to or water or sprinkler to, find something that grows in dry land. They have dry land grasses, different brushes and shrubs that grow where it's dry. But for cheatgrass, one of your biggest tools in my neck of the woods, at least over here, not too far from you there in Helena, is revegetation, getting something I want to grow to choke out that cheatgrass. So when I pull cheatgrass on my place, I have a little baggie of seed in my pocket, and I just toss a few in every little patch that I pull and start getting something else growing. So hopefully that helps a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, Julie, for that call, too. That kind of leaves us just about 45 seconds or so, Becky. I know we didn't really get too into much here about fall, spring, but give us, I got a full minute. Give us a little bit of fall, spring tips for us here, would you?
Well, real quick, fall spraying can be one of the most effective times to actually get some management with weeds, because as they're uptaking for the winter, that's when they'll uptake, and of course we're talking herbicides here, but they'll uptake herbicides and you'll get more effective control, especially if you can do it before the first hard frost. Otherwise, we're a big believer in integrated weed management, meaning there's all sorts of tools out there. Some are more effective than others. And a lot of them have to be used in conjunction with each other. For instance, like Kellyanne had talked about revegetation. It's really important it's great to go out and kill all your weeds, but if you don't replace that soil with something that's going to compete, you're going to be fighting them forever.
And if you're getting soil disturbance from whether it's, they're digging new lines or any kind, watch that as well in your yard and get that revegetated right away too, because that will help. We're out of time, but the weed battle does go on. Thank you, Becky Kington, the Montana Weed Control Association, and Kellyanne Fillingham.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.